Let's read together Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 54. Now, in this last section of Luke chapter 11, we have our Lord's two little parables about light, and then we have our Lord's denunciation of the scribes and Pharisees. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 33. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees! For you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. And he said, Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 11 with some background notes. In our last talk from Luke, we saw the critical point of Israel's rejection of their Messiah. The religious leaders of the nation actually attributed our Lord's miracles to the power of Satan. This was the last straw. This sin of rejection was unpardonable. Now, here in the last section of Luke chapter 11, after illustrating this rejection with two short but to the point parables about light, the Lord moved on to denounce the scribes and Pharisees for their legalism and hypocrisy and blindness. The contents of this scathing rebuke of the scribes and Pharisees is very similar to what we have in Matthew chapter 23. However, a closer examination of where and when the Lord is speaking in these two chapters indicates that we are probably dealing here with two different teaching occasions. Remember, there would have been a lot of overlap and similarity in content to the messages that the Lord spoke to the scribes and Pharisees on different occasions. You know, preachers and teachers today do the same thing when speaking on the same topic on different occasions. So much for background. Let's move on now to discuss these two little parables about light under our first doctrinal point. So, doctrinal point number one, the Lord commended the light and sight of believers. The Lord commended the light and sight of believers. In verses 33 through 36, we actually have two parables about light, not just one parable. In verse 33, we have the parable of the hidden lamp. And in verses 34 through 36, we have the parable of the bad eye. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, the Lord Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Now, this is very similar to what the Lord said here in Luke chapter 11, verse 33. "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light." Did you notice the slight difference in emphasis between these two passages? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, the emphasis is an exhortation for us to let our light shine and not hide it. In view of the context of Luke chapter 11, the emphasis here in verse 33 seems to be that the Lord as the light had come, and the scribes and Pharisees saw that light and were revealed by that light, but they rejected that light, as indicated in the next little parable about the bad eye in verses 34 through 36. Let's read those verses once again. "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." Remember, the Lord gave this parable before the benefit of glasses and bifocals and trifocals and cataract removal and laser surgery and eye medication, etc. So these folks could easily identify with our Lord's illustration here. If you have bad eyes, it affects your whole body. The light is there, but you are in darkness. The application that the Lord was making to his audience was obvious. The light of the world had come, but Israel had bad eyesight. They were not receiving the light, and thus they were in spiritual darkness and could not see. The personal application of this parable is obvious as well. If you have good spiritual eyesight, then you can and will receive the true light of this world, namely the Lord and his word. And as a result, you will not be in darkness, but you will be walking in the light, and your whole person will be enlightened, and you will see truth clearly. The Lord commended the light and sight of believers. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord denounced the legalism and hypocrisy of unbelievers. The Lord denounced the legalism and hypocrisy of unbelievers. In verse 37, we read that the Lord accepted an invitation to have lunch with a Pharisee. The Pharisee was surprised that the Lord did not wash his hands before the meal. Now, for someone to use this text today as a reason or excuse not to wash their hands before eating would be pulling this scripture way out of context. This was a ceremonial washing, and it was not commanded in the law. And so the Lord used this occasion as an opportunity to denounce the legalism and hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. The Pharisees would go through all these ritualistic washings of themselves and their dinnerware, while at the same time they were evil in their thoughts and motives, verses 39 and 40. You can't clean up your thought life by washing your head, then or today. The Lord must cleanse your heart. In verses 42 through 44, the Lord pronounced three woes on the Pharisees for their legalism and hypocrisy. They tithed of everything, down to the last detail, but they were not concerned about justice and not concerned about the poor and needy. If they were really clean on the inside, they would have cared for the poor. Verse 41. The Pharisees loved to show everyone how religious they were on the outside, But they were like unmarked and hidden graves. People became defiled without realizing it when they came in contact with the Pharisees. Verse 44. In verses 46 through 52, the Lord pronounced three woes on the lawyers of the day. Well, that's not surprising, is it? Only kidding. The lawyers of that day were the scribes of the Old Testament scriptures, because the Old Testament was the law for the Jewish people. But these scribes twisted and distorted and misinterpreted the Word of God. Like the Pharisees, they honored the prophets by building large tombs for them. But meanwhile, their generation was continuing to kill and persecute the prophets as their fathers had done. This generation of unbelievers who persecuted and murdered the faithful went all the way back to the murder of Abel and continued all the way through to the murder of Zechariah, a priest, recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, which comes at the end of the Hebrew Old Testament. The lawyers of Jesus' day were continuing that wicked tradition and would join with the Pharisees to plot against Jesus, as we see in verses 53 and 54. And they would continue to persecute and kill the New Testament prophets and apostles, as verse 49 makes clear. Notice the third woe pronounced upon these lawyers in verse 52. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered. What was the key of knowledge that the scribes and Pharisees were taking away? It was the teaching of the Lord Jesus. His teaching about himself and his kingdom opened up a person's whole understanding of Scripture and of life itself, then and today. But the scribes and Pharisees would not believe and would not enter in themselves, and they did everything possible to hinder those who were turning to the Lord and his word. The Lord denounced the legalism and hypocrisy of unbelievers. What about practical application from this last portion of Luke chapter 11? Use a meal to discuss an important matter. Use a meal to discuss an important matter. Can you imagine the tension that existed at this luncheon with the scribes and Pharisees? So much so that one of the lawyers said to the Lord in verse 45, "You insult us." Yes, the lawyer had not missed the point that the Lord was making to the Pharisees, and now the Lord goes further in denouncing the scribes. Talk about rocking the boat. The atmosphere at this meal was tense for sure, but the Lord did not back away from it. The important point here was not to enjoy the meal, but to use the meal to discuss an important matter, namely the legalism and hypocrisy and wicked motives and attitudes of the scribes and Pharisees. We too can use a meal to discuss important matters. We may even have to use confrontation or be confronted ourselves. A meal sometimes is a golden opportunity to get beyond small talk. Use a meal to discuss an important matter.